continue. You are indeed seated at the right hand of the Father, and one day will come and be our judge. So we praise you and we worship you and ask you to speak to us and send your Spirit upon us afresh for your holy name's sake. Amen. Hallelujah. How marvelous. Welcome, Sir Margaret. It's great to see you, and a relief to me to find that there are people here on this week of all weeks when so many people seem to be away. So it's great to see you, and thank you, Chris and the band, for leading us in worship. We'll be back to you any moment. Now I read to you a few verses from Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, and beginning at verse 26, on page 10,040. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading the Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. It's always very good to have friends who you know have known you for a long time and encourage you and occasionally say things you think, "Oh yes, that's very honest. I'm sure I ought to be grateful for that comment. And I will be soon, if not at this particular moment." I was talking to someone the other day. He's been a great friend for a long time. And we were talking about the church we'd been part of in the 1990s. And he said, "Oh, Jeremy," he said, "you were so radical in those days. You really took risks at every point. The Holy Spirit came in power. It was exciting to be with you." I said, "Oh, thank you very much." While realizing he was saying, "And now you're rather dull, boring, and conventional." And oh, just for a hint of that radical hunger for the Holy Spirit that you used to have, and I think still have, but obviously it isn't coming across quite as clearly as it used to when I was, whatever it was, so many years younger. I realized, of course, that there was a bit of a sting in the tail as I suddenly, subconsciously, felt slightly defensive. It's always a sign, isn't it, that you feel slightly got at. So reading this account of Philip is both an encouragement to be radical and a risk taker, and it's a challenge too, because I wonder, what would I have done in his place had I been there that day? He got used, of course, to God calling him out of his comfort zone. But he must have wondered about God's agenda on the day we've just read about. He'd been a great success in Samaria, and it would have been very easy, very logical, for him to stay in this revival in Samaria and build on the revival and deepen the discipleship of those who've been converted. He could have justified it at every point. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as we heard in verse 26, had other ideas for him. It must have seemed a particularly unattractive option at first that Jesus was calling him to, walking south along a desert road after being at the heart of events in a significant city. But Philip went anyway. And I couldn't help wondering what had happened that pushed him to do this. And Luke gives us a clue, which I have to say I had missed until yesterday. That's missed for about 40-odd years since I started reading the Bible regularly. At the start of verse 26, "For there we read, an angel of the Lord said to Philip." And it is, what I hadn't realized, a coded phrase in Luke. Normally he uses another word, the Spirit, or the Spirit of the Lord, or something like that. But he only uses this phrase, the angel of the Lord, rarely, both in Luke's Gospel, the Gospel he wrote, and Acts, which he also wrote. And he uses it when he wants to stress the special presence and activity of God in a situation. If you knew Luke, you picked this up. Something special was happening at this particular moment. Philip was indeed taking a risk at leaving Samaria, but he was utterly certain, because of what he'd experienced, that this was what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted him to do. He began to understand why when he got to the desert road and began to walk south. It was the road along which half the world travelled at that time. Whatever commodity you were trading in, whatever area of finance you were involved with, you would have gone up and down this road often. It went to Egypt and then on to Africa. Access to the most lucrative markets of the time meant going up and down this road. In spite of that, though, nothing happened at first, until he came across this clearly high-powered Ethiopian, and the Holy Spirit prompted Philip to walk beside his chariot. He soon understood what God was up to. We heard it in verse 30. He heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. The conversation that ensued led the man to coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized, and then continuing on his journey, rejoicing, it says. And 100 years afterwards, a Christian writer called Irenaeus recorded how, when he got back to Ethiopia, his witness to Jesus led many of his countrymen coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 100 years later, there was a revival in Ethiopia, which they traced back to this one man, who would have traced it back to one unexpected conversation in the desert. Given this, like Philip, it builds our confidence. We suddenly feel we could have a conversation like that. We could take a risk, do something that surprises us at the prompting of the Spirit. It's easy, of course, to feel, well, it's not quite for us at the moment. But Philip was the most surprising person for Jesus to use. Up until he went to Samaria, he'd had a low profile in the Jerusalem church. doing odd administrative tasks in the fellowship. And yet when the Spirit used him, he changed first a city and later a country. Extraordinary when Jesus was ascending, wasn't it? He said to his disciples and those, go make disciples of all nations, starting in Jerusalem and Judea, and then in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The 12 apostles, or the 11 apostles by then, did Jerusalem and Judea. But it was Philip who did Samaria. Philip, unexpected Philip, began to do the ends of the earth. And in this diverse financial center, which is the city of London, it is extraordinary to realize that the first non-Jewish Christian was someone in financial services from Africa. Isn't that extraordinary? This conversation planted the seed of faith in a great continent. An unexpected person simply doing what the Spirit had asked him to do started the most extraordinary Christian heritage that is still strong generations later. When I read that, I think, actually, I want to be radical. I'd like to make a difference, just to have a conversation, just perhaps to talk to someone who might make a difference in their turn that I could hardly imagine happening. And it started, as Luke told us in that coded message, by a special sense of the presence and activity of the Spirit. And you and I can't read this without thinking, Jesus, I want that. I want that actually more than anything else. Because like Philip, I want to make a difference.